Open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles, 16th chapter. 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. While you're turning there, I want to share with you the proclamation given by President Abraham Lincoln. President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the last Thursday in November, 1863, as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our benevolent Father, even as winds of war continued to batter a divided nation. Picture Abraham Lincoln in the midst of that Civil War, Gettysburg having been fought. And he now declares the last Thursday in November as a day of thanksgiving. He said, "The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we're prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are so extraordinary in nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God." He continued, "No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged, as with one heart and one voice, by the whole American people." We're in 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. To background just a little bit, David has now brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. He's rejoicing that the Ark is there again. They're having a time of praise, etc. And we get to verse 7 here. We're going to read that on through verse 36. "Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Israel, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of His covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when ye were but few, even a few, and strangers in it. And when they went from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him, all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. Father, once again we come before you, and we bow before you in humbleness. We come needy, needing to hear from you, needing to hear from heaven, needing the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our midst. And we come pleading with you that you would meet with us in these next few minutes, that you would bring into the hearts conviction and Lord, concern for those who are lost here, that they might consider their eternal destiny, and then they might come to Christ, receive him, put their faith in him as one must do in order to have eternal life. Help them to realize the fallacy of a work salvation, the error that people are taught that they can earn heaven by being religious or good. Help them to recognize they need Christ. And then for believers, that we would be convicted and stirred and challenged in our hearts by the truths of your word as well. Have your way in what's said and done here, and help me to be led and attentive and yielded to the Holy Spirit, used of him to sound out your word. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Give thanks unto the Lord. We've read this passage here of David speaking to the people. And you know, when we talk about David, we understand that the scriptures tell us, number one, he was a man after God's own heart. It reminds us of the heart David had for the Lord. As we read about David in the Bible, we also find several other things revealed to us about this man. David was, for instance, a man of great faith. We find him testifying of killing a lion and a bear with his bare hands by his faith in the Lord. And even as a young man, he faced the giant Goliath with just 5 stones in his sling. He was also a principled man. We know that because we read about how when he was pursued by King Saul, we read how twice he had occasion where he could have killed King Saul, and yet he wouldn't do it. His servants with him said, do it, kill him, let me kill him. And David would not. He said, I'll not raise my hand against God's anointed. He was a principled man. We also learn from the Bible that David was a human man. By that I mean that he was not perfect, but was subject to the temptations and weaknesses of the flesh, just like we are. We read about his failure in his life when he sinned with Bathsheba. So we know that he's human. In our text for today, we find yet another attribute of this man, David, being very prominently displayed for us. We see here a man, David, as a man of great thankfulness and praise to God. David was a man of great thankfulness and praise. As we think about what we read here, and we read the book of Psalms, and most of that book of Psalms we find written by David. Psalms of praise, psalms of thanksgiving. And where else could we find so many assembled in one place? Today, we find ourselves just a few days from the Thanksgiving holiday. Most people in America are already preparing for the celebration on Thursday. Some are going to host gatherings while others are going to travel so that they can be with their loved ones. Scrumptious meals are in the planning. Parades are scheduled. Football games will be played, and on we could go with all that's involved in this so-called celebration of Thanksgiving. But sadly, for many, the reason and the meaning of the Thanksgiving holiday has been lost. From its beginnings in America, the Thanksgiving celebration was meant to be a time of thanksgiving to God for His magnificent blessings. The pilgrims held that first Thanksgiving we read about after God had blessed them and has taken care of them and sent the Indians to help them and all. And they thanked God for His providential care and provision. That was the purpose of that Thanksgiving celebration. Later, we're told in 1789, President Washington declared November 26th of that year as a national day of prayer and thanksgiving to God for His blessings. Would to God we could see that today. Coming from the head of our country, that we should stop and praise God for His manifold blessings. Later, I've read the proclamation by President Lincoln as he established the last Thursday in November as a national day of thanksgiving. And then in 1941, Congress made it an official national holiday for the whole country, Thanksgiving Day. Today, we continue the tradition. But I believe in large part, we've lost the true meaning, the true purpose of it. It's no longer a day of thanksgiving to God for many, but simply a day of reveling and partying. In our text and in the Psalms, David writes over and over words of praise and words of thanksgiving to the Lord. We as believers need to follow His leadership and be a people of praise and thanksgiving. Our thankfulness to the Lord ought to be ever present. Not only ever present, but it ought to be ever evidenced in our lives. We must be a thankful people. And we must demonstrate our thanksgiving to the Lord. And I want to share with you some ways we can demonstrate our thanksgiving to the Lord. Number one, we can do so by recognizing God's blessings. Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. You know, those who don't feel they have been blessed by God are not going to be thankful to God. Did you figure that out yet? Those who think they have not been blessed by God and don't see God's blessing on their life are not going to be thankful to Him for those blessings. They see nothing to thank Him for. They refuse to acknowledge the blessings that I'm enjoying come from Almighty God. These are the folks who think all they have can be attributed to their efforts and their good fortune. These are the people who think that they've been blessed simply by chance, by happenstance. These are the folks who think they're blessed because of self, what I've done. And so when it's time to give thanks, they're not going to thank God because they don't credit Him with having blessed them. And sadly, many in America fit that description. I thought about many of the so-called celebrities of America. When the name Jesus is mentioned, they run. They enjoy the success, they enjoy the riches and fame and all that Hollywood and music and the celebrity life brings, but they attribute it all to themselves. They didn't acknowledge that God had anything to do with it. Many of the wealthy see themselves as self-made men, so to speak. And then many of the agnostics, and by the way, these two groups I just talked about fit into that category. These are folks who do not even really acknowledge God as we do. Many of them will say, well, I believe there's something up there, some kind of power, but I don't believe in an almighty, sovereign God. That's why their life is left to happenstance and chance. These fail to realize that if it wasn't for God's blessings, they would be nowhere, they would have nothing. So many times, I'm going to relate this to the athletic side of things. We see athletes who are gifted athletically, physically, able to do marvelous things in whatever their sport is, football, basketball, baseball, whatever it is. But how many would attribute their abilities to the Lord? I was surprised. I was reading an article a couple of weeks ago about a player who plays for Penn State. He's not a well-known player. He does start for the team. But he made a spectacular play in the game, and they interviewed him. And I was a little bit taken back. They said, what about that play? You won the game, blah, blah, blah. What do you have to say? And he said, the first thing I want to do is give praise and glory to my Lord Jesus Christ. I thought, what a rarity. Normally that athlete stands up there and says, well, I did this and I did that, you know. Thank goodness there was a man who would give glory and praise. But he's the exception. He's not the rule. And it goes all through America in that way. People don't realize if it wasn't for Almighty God's granting of health, freedom, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the sunshine we enjoy, if it wasn't for Almighty God allowing us to have those things, they would have nothing. But there's no sense of thanksgiving in their heart. We, on the other hand, need to be careful that we count our blessings. We need to oftentimes look around and acknowledge the wonderful blessings that God has given to us. I thought about family. Sometimes family, we don't see as such a blessing. I wanted to say that kindly. If you have children, sometimes you want to pinch their little head off. And as they grow up, you want to pinch their big head off. Sometimes family can be difficult. But ultimately, we need to thank God for family. That we can enjoy family and have family. God's blessed us with friends. It's a wonderful thing to have friends. God's blessed us with a wonderful church. By the way, I almost equate church and family together, you know. Because we are family. We ought to be thankful for our Bible. I'm so glad I have an inerrant, infallible, divinely preserved, inspired Word of God. I don't have to wonder, is that right? Is that true? Did they translate that correctly? I have the Word of God, just like He wants me to have it, in the English. I don't need any other version. And I'm glad. I'm glad there are no errors in this book. Amen. Think about this. Hey, if there was just one error to be found in this book, it would not be trustworthy. If there's one, there may be more. And if there's more, where are they? But I thank God there are none. Nobody's ever proved this book wrong. By the way, they never will. I can go to bed every night. No, I'm not going to wake up in the morning and hear the 7 o'clock news on the television. Well, they found it. They found what disproves everything the Bible says. It's never going to happen. It can't happen. Because God's Word is forever settled in heaven. It's true. And every man's a liar. Amen. We ought to be thankful for that. Thankful for food. And boy, this bunch ought to be thankful for food. I'll tell you that. I've seen y'all eat. Amen. But listen, we have an abundance. We have plenty of food. But think about people who don't. We eat more in a day, and some people in this world eat in a week. I saw Taco Bell was advertising there for a while, the fourth meal of the day. And I thought, there's some people in this world don't get four meals a week. We've been blessed. Listen, I would imagine every one of you can go home and open your refrigerator and there's food in it. Now, if you have teenagers, they'll go home and open the door and say, there's nothing in here to eat. But we've been blessed. Not just in what's in our... How about the fact that we have food available? Those poor people in the Philippines right now, where that storm hit the hardest. Have you ever thought about this? A time when, not for just a couple days like we experienced last year with Sandy, but for weeks and weeks, there's no Giant, there's no Weis Market, there's no grocery store to go to. Wow. You go over to the Walmart grocery section and there's no food to buy. That happens in countries. One of our missionaries wrote the one time how he went down to, he was in Siberia, and he went down to the local store where you're supposed to buy your supplies, and he said as he went in for food, there was nothing on the shelves. Freedoms. We enjoy freedoms like nobody in this world. Affluence. We live in palaces. You say you haven't seen my palace. We complain when the wall-to-wall carpeting's getting a little worn. And there's people in the world living on dirt floors. You know, we're beside ourselves. Oh, the microwave broke. And there's people cooking on open fires. We've been blessed. You know, one of the greatest blessings that we just take for granted is to be able to walk over to that sink, turn a handle, and have hot and cold water right there. We can have three bedrooms and a bath and not three bedrooms and a path. If you've ever been under those conditions, you know what I'm talking about. What a blessing indoor plumbing is. And we never think anything of it until it breaks.
Yeah.
Yes. We've been blessed. We need to be thankful. We need to be careful that we never take things for granted. There's an old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. We get so used to things, we lose sight of how wonderful they are. You know, we live relatively close to the ocean. We don't think much about going down and watching the waves. Huh? But you bring somebody from the Midwest who's never been to the ocean, and they go down there and see it for themselves. They're in awe. We just kind of, yeah, it's the ocean. We live in an area that's steeped in history. But how many in this room have taken time to visit Washington's Crossing or the Liberty Bell, Independence Hall, the Statue of Liberty over New York? But people will come from miles and other countries and flock to those things. We don't think much of it. Why? We just kind of take it for granted. Yes, there. And we get that way with God's blessings. We just get so used to it being that way. But we need to count our blessings. God desires our praise for the blessings. Look at Psalm 100. Very familiar psalm. This time of year. And you won't believe this probably. When I was in the fourth grade in the public school system, My fourth grade teacher had us memorize this psalm for Thanksgiving in a public school. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. He commands us to be a praiseful and thankful people. God don't want us to lose sight of his blessings. You know, he warned the Israelites back there in Deuteronomy chapter 8 to forget not the blessings that God put on them. Number one, we need to demonstrate thankfulness by recognizing God's blessings. Number two, by displaying an attitude of praise. In Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. In our text here, chapter 16 of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, verse 8, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. You know, I figured this out. Everyone can either praise or complain. And our attitude is going to make the difference in which one we do. I found this out. People with a complaining spirit are always going to find something to complain about. I remember my mother used to have a saying about people like that. Somebody would be really blessed and they'd be complaining, you know, and she'd say, well, they could cry with a loaf of bread under each arm. How many of you ever heard that? They would cry with a loaf of bread under each arm. What's she saying? Well, they'd find something to complain about. And there's people like that. But we need to be a people of praise. We need to learn to praise God for what we have rather than gripe about what we don't have. You know, so many times, the most praiseful people we find are those who have the least in material possessions. I'm always amazed at that. We find folks who are rather wealthy as Christians, you know, and they got a lot, and we don't hear too much praise from them. And then we encounter people, I mean, they just don't have anything. They live day to day by faith, and yet they have words of praise always on their lips. I thought about Mrs. Tom. Some of you knew her. Mrs. Tom, she had that little apartment there. She actually lived with her daughter. She didn't drive a big car. She didn't wear fancy clothes. But I'll tell you what, as soon as you got in her presence, you knew the praise of God. She just had an attitude of praise all the time. I thought about the Craigs. Remember the Craigs that came here? Brother Ken Craig was a preacher and a missionary, God's missionary church. And it was just a little gathering. They only had a few people, and they didn't have a Sunday night service, so they started coming to ours. Sweet people who loved the Lord. He was on dialysis. He would come in honestly. I saw him come into services Sunday night or Wednesday night at times. He was yellow from needing dialysis. But any time we met and we had a time of praise, he was one of the first ones to be able to stand up and give God glory and give God praise. Always words of praise on his lips. That's how we all should be. We need to be careful that we don't get this ungrateful spirit. And we need to learn to be thankful for what God gives us. And we need, listen, especially in the day and age we're living, we need to be careful about covetousness. One of the commandments is we're not supposed to covet. See, we need to learn to be content with the blessings God puts on us. The blessings God puts on you may be different from the blessings he puts on somebody else, but don't covet theirs. God blesses you the way God knows you need to be blessed. How many of you have more than one child? How many of you know you deal with each child individually? And sometimes you can't give to one child what you give to another. You think God don't know that about us? And sometimes our children even get envious that one got something the other one didn't get, but they're not understanding. I can't give it to you. There's a reason. It's for your own good. I know that it would be hurtful to you and harmful to you. And we need to come to that with God. He knows what's best for us. We need to learn to be satisfied with His blessings. So we need to recognize God's blessing. We need to display this attitude of praise. And then we need to display the effects of a thankful spirit. You see, true thankfulness causes one to evidence that thankfulness by our actions. We show thankfulness when we engage in activities that are the result of our praise. Those who are truly thankful will express it verbally. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Verbally. Oftentimes when we have been a blessing to others, we hear them repeatedly say thank you and praise us for it. Have you ever had that? You did something for somebody or gave them something. Every time you see them, well, thank you. I sure appreciate. Huh? Have you had that happen? We ought to be that way with God. He blessed us and we ought to continually be coming and saying, well, thank you. I appreciate what you've done for me. Thank you. And when He gives us something special, make sure we do thank Him and praise Him. God wants us to verbalize our thanksgiving in our private time with Him. Bring it up. Don't just take it for granted. Lord, you've blessed me so, and I want to make sure I rehearse that to you. In the songs and hymns that we sing, in testimonies publicly, hey, when you're called upon to give a testimony, anybody want to praise the Lord? Are you willing to stand and say, yes, I praise God, He did this, He did this. I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that. You know, God inhabits the praise of His people. Out among the unsaved, do you brag on Him? I love it when you're able to get around the unsaved and say, praise God. Thank the Lord. God's good. It gets their attention. Now, it might irritate them, but it gets their attention. But it also gives me opportunity to give Him praise and recognize before them just who's involved in this. We need to be willing to give a word of witness of God's goodness. And then those who are truly thankful are going to show it by their actions. They're going to be willing to serve the Lord. You know, a thankful heart wants to serve. Maybe that's why so many Christians aren't serving today. You don't consider much what God's done for you. Paul says that he's constrained by the love of Christ. We ought to be constrained. We ought to feel the need to serve. Why? Because He's been so good to me. We need to be anxious to share Him with other people. One of the burdens I carry about seeing people saved is I want them to know the joy and the blessing I know as being a Christian. Not just staying out of hell, but the joy of the Christian life. Be willing to sacrifice for Him. I know it's going to get quiet here. Listen, He's been so good to us and He blesses us so. Shouldn't we be willing to sacrifice some things for Him? You know, He don't ask a whole lot of us. He wants us to sacrifice some of our time and our talents and our tithes and things to Him. To be willing to give back to Him freely. By the way, another way we show our praise is to give up some things that we might better serve Him. Give up some things that may not even be sinful, but give up some things that will make us better able to serve Him. Maybe giving up a bowling league. Maybe giving up a night of activity. Maybe giving up some time that you've used in some other way. Maybe giving up some money that you set aside to buy something you wanted, and God's burdened your heart to sacrifice that and give it to Him for His use. Whatever it is, we need to be willing to do that, and that helps us to show our praise and thanksgiving. By the way, we show thanksgiving by being faithful to Him. Dedicated, consecrated, sanctified, committed Christians. Listen, when you get around somebody who's a dedicated, consecrated, sanctified, committed Christian, I'll guarantee you, you're going to find somebody who praises the Lord, who's thankful to God and lets it be known. After all He's done for us, after how He's blessed us, is this too much for Him to expect of us? And then those who are truly thankful are going to show it by savoring their blessings. Savoring. The Bible talks about the incense offering and all being a sweet, and the prayers of God's people are sweet-smelling savor in God's nostrils. Something to enjoy over and over. We need to savor the blessings of God. We need to value and appreciate what He does. How do you feel when somebody's unappreciative for what you do for them? Our kids are really, can really get on our, you know, in this situation, as parents, sometimes we'll sacrifice for our children to try to do for them what they really want. And they show no appreciation. I remember a case of, well, it was my sister actually. She wanted to take, music lessons, Brother Tom, at school. And you know, they rent the instruments and everything, and you take them right at school. And so my mother signed her up. My mother had to pay every month for her to have this instrument and take these lessons. Well, as most of you might have had the experience, you know, a lot of parents do. The instrument came home, and for a couple of weeks there was practice and interest. And then all of a sudden, something else came along. And the instrument goes in the closet, never to be touched again. And Mom's still paying the bill. And you know what that says? She don't appreciate what Mom's doing for her. Don't appreciate it a lick. Sometimes we get that way with God. We show little appreciation for what He's done, and I wonder how He feels. And then we need to recognize the value of the blessings He's put on us and enjoy them to the fullest. I've talked about children and maybe a little bit in negative ways, but the truth is this. If you have children, if they're still at home, you need to enjoy them at home. Amen. See, because one day they're going to grow up and hopefully leave you. Huh? Hopefully we can kick them out of that nest. That's God's intention. And then, you know, we've come to it. Some of you are coming to it. That empty nest syndrome. It's real. Where your children are there, and you know why they're there? Sometimes we're so busy raising our children, we don't enjoy our children. Like we should. We're taking them here and taking them there and doing this and doing that, you know, as good parents and being responsible and all and trying to do the best for them. But sometimes we fail to just take time to enjoy them. Because one day they're going to go their way and make their own lives. And we need to take advantage of that blessing that God's given us. Our freedoms that we have. We need to take advantage of our freedoms to enjoy them, to go and do and be. And by the way, our freedom to vote, we need to take advantage of that for sure. We need to recognize how undeserving we are of God's blessings that He gives us, and it makes them more special. We need to stop and think, God's blessed me this way and this way and this way, and I really don't deserve it. See, that's one of our problems. Sometimes we think, well, yeah, I'm pretty good. God ought to do this for me. No, no, no. We deserve nothing. And then fourthly, we need to demonstrate our thankfulness by having an appreciation for the grace God has shown to us. Verse 4 of our text here. Oh, it's in Psalm 103. I'm sorry. I was between the two passages here. Psalm 103. Whom redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? You know, one of the key ingredients to true thankfulness is the appreciation and acknowledgement of the grace shown to us by the giver of blessings. See, everything God does for us and gives to us is by His grace. I said just a minute ago, everything He does for us is undeserved. If we got what we deserve, we'd burn in hell. That's what we deserve. But we understand this grace. And the word grace means the idea of us getting what we don't deserve. That's what grace is all about. It's only God's grace that allows Him to bless sinful man. We're a bunch of dirty, rotten, filthy sinners. I don't like that. I don't either, but it's what we are. And God testifies to that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. But even though we're filthy, rotten sinners, God is, by His grace, giving us what we don't deserve, blessed us so abundantly. He testifies in His Word. He's the one that sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Listen, mankind does not deserve the rain, the sunshine, the beauty of God's creation, the harvest of crops to feed us, and the system of water to make sure we have water to drink, and the system of oxygen to have oxygen. Mankind don't deserve that. But God provides it all. And He keeps it provided. Have you ever thought about what would happen if God cut His grace off now? In about 10 seconds, we'd be... wouldn't have anything to breathe. It would be total darkness. God's keeping it all together. By Him, all things consist. He's keeping it working for us, even though we don't deserve it. And I'm talking about all mankind. Think how many people out there shake their fist in God's face. Think how many throw His name around like garbage. Think how many mock and ridicule and make a mockery of God. And yet He continues by His grace to bless mankind and to bless us as individuals. It was God's grace that caused Him to send a Savior. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For the grace of God to bring us salvation hath been seen of all men. God, in His grace, sent Jesus Christ to die for an undeserving people. Sent Him to go to the cross, shed His blood to pay sin's debt that was owed to God, so that we would have the opportunity to be saved. Nobody deserves that. But God, by His grace, did it for us. And we need to be thankful for the fact that He's made a way. It's so sad. People, we meet so many people who are trying to get to heaven their own way. They're trying to be good. They're trying to do it through religion. They're trying, you can't do it that way. There's only one way, and God made that way. Listen, you can't do enough good things to deserve God's favor. You can't be religious enough to be clean enough to be in the presence of God. You're still going to be a sinner. Amen. The only way you can be in His presence, the only way you can be His child, the only way you can be saved out of hell, the only way you can have your sins forgiven is by the grace of God and accepting what He did for us, as undeserving as we are. We need to be thankful for what He's done. And you know, the greatest way to show thankfulness for salvation is to get saved. Huh? Can you imagine how it hurts the heart of God when the plan of salvation is presented to a lost sinner? Here's how you get saved. God did it for you. He's offering a gift. And they say, no. I think that hurts the heart of God. They're spitting in His face after the grace that He's shown to them. But think about, and we know the Bible testifies to this, there's joy in the presence of the angels when one saint gets saved. Huh? Think how it rejoices God's heart and blesses His heart when that salvation message is preached and proclaimed, and some sinner says, I'll believe, I'll accept, I want Jesus, come into my heart and save me. And God says, oh, there's one. Listen, the best way to show thankfulness for that opportunity is to get saved. And then if you've been saved, the best way to show your thankfulness for being saved is to share it with other people. Spread it. Don't hide it under a bushel. Spread it. Let others know there's a way. There's a way. God made a way. He saved me. He'll save you. And share that good news. Today, there may be somebody here who needs to accept Christ. You've never been saved. You realize today that you've never really been thankful for what God did. You really didn't understand what He did for you, but you do now. Would you come to Christ today? Hey, Christian friend, think about this for just a minute. Do you, in your life, demonstrate your thankfulness to the Lord? Is your life a testimony of thankfulness for what God's done for you? It ought to be. Let's bow our heads. Christian.